2 years ago, or a year and a half ago, 2 Christmases ago, we did Christmas on this month. We did Christmas in Narnia, or Advent in Narnia. And as we started that series, me and Larry had a conversation. Said, well, you know what? The theme of Narnia, the story of Narnia, is actually quite suited for Lent. Almost more suited for Lent and Easter. So we thought that maybe we should do a series with Narnia as the cue that we take as our little point and do a Lent series. But we thought it wise to not do the Lent after that happened. We can only do so much Narnia. So when Lent came around this, we thought, let's do the Narnia series. So the Chronicles of Narnia is written by C.S. Lewis, great theologian, a Christian philosopher, and a great writer. So he did write quite a few theological works, but he also wrote the stories of Narnia. And he hoped that the Chronicles of Narnia would soften up the religious reflexes and make it easier for children to accept Christianity when they met it later in life. So he wrote these books as fantasy books to set the stage so that when kids learn about Jesus later on, they'll say, aha, I know something about this. So a lot of times we'll take a story and see how we can find connective points to Christianity. This one was written actually so that it is possible. It was written with the Christian story in mind. But C.S. Lewis also insisted that the Chronicles of Narnia shouldn't be read as Christian allegories. He said he would rather call it supposals. So he wrote a letter to one of his early readers of these books to explain to them what he means with supposals. So he said, with reference to the great lion Aslan, Aslan is an invention giving an imaginary answer to the question, what might Christ become like if there really were a world like Narnia and he chose to be incarnate and die and rise again in that world as he actually has done in ours. This is not an allegory at all. The incarnation of Christ in another world is mere supposal. So he just set a platform for later exploration for him. So over six Sundays, the six Sundays of Lent and then Easter Sunday, we will use the imagery of Narnia as a type of mold to categorize our thoughts and reinvigorate our faith as we prepare for Easter. And in all of this, even though it's centered in Narnia, our aim is not to understand Narnia better. Our aim is to understand God better. So last week, Larry started off with the frozen landscape, part one of the frozen landscape. And the video clip just showed the beginning of the story. It's well described in the books, in the movie. You can see the faces of the kids as they stumble. First Lucy and then the other siblings as they stumble into Narnia, this winter wonderland. They came out of London in the midst of the Second World War, stumbled into this winter wonderland, and it was just a moment of awe for them. This whole new world that they knew nothing about. Everything was covered in fluffy white snow, and they had so much fun in the snow, throwing snowballs, rolling down the hills in the snow, and it was just this beautiful world for the benefit. And that is the way that a lot of people look at our world. There's so much pleasure to be had. There's so much enjoyment that we can have. I mean, you can head out on any given night and paint any given town as red as you want. The days of the prohibition has been over for a long period. People have been desensitized to pretty much everything. So in your hedonistic adventures, you can do whatever you want and anything goes. That's the world we live in now. As long as you enjoy it at the time. And if you want more happiness, if you want more enjoyment, just buy more things. Just drink more. Just risk more. Just try more new things to feel enjoyment. You know, the whole hedonism idea. The pursuit of pleasure. The pursuit of self-indulgence. That's the world we live in. If you want to feel something, just go and do more, buy more, experience more of the things that this world has got to offer. Today we get into part two of the frozen landscape, in which we will see that it is not all fun and games. In the Chronicles of Narnia, the winter landscape that looks so wonderful and inviting at first isn't that wonderful anymore when space winter forever. And this world of Narnia that stays mineral forever comes with consequences. So let's have a look at the video clip for today. So if you were able to see the first video clip last week, and if you remember the movie, it was also part of the clips that we used in Advent. The kids, when they came into this landscape, it was everything was fun and games, and they just were in awe. This is something completely different. Now all that awe is gone. All the sleepiness around here is gone now after the fright that we got. But I might save that clip and just use it for long sermons and now just show it again. But it's something completely different. The animals are frozen. The kids aren't happy to be there. Because it's always winter in Narnia. And this is where the problem lies. Something is not right. This winter wonderland is not just, it's now just a winterland. The pleasure is gone. Edmund tried for a minute to manufacture some pleasure by drawing a funny face on one of the frozen animals of Narnia. But he was quickly and rudely brought back to reality of Narnia, the cold, frozen Narnia in which he found himself. So this is completely the opposite of what they felt when they just came into this world of Narnia. And this, all of these scenes are still from the beginning, or the beginning part of the movie. Something wasn't right with that world. So that was our cue from the movie. Now let's turn to our scripture reading this morning, taken from Romans 7, verses 15 to 25. This is Paul writing to the church in Rome. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind, and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, we also get this sense that something is not right with our world. Not the Narnia world, but with our, the actual world. And some people may say, what are you talking about? What do you mean something is not right with our world? We have all the pleasure in the world. Or at least we can have all the pleasure in the world. We do it all. We ride our snowmobiles in the winter, our bikes and boats in the summertime, we hunt in the fall, we boot it up in spring waiting for summer. This world is a blast. What do you mean something's not right with our world? It's a blast. And of course, then there's hockey and curling and baseball with my favorite team, which is another world that I can live through by proxy. So I live through my team that I support. And we can even do it better now. It is even the possibility to have it better than it was last year. Fourth increase, with pot being legal and all that. If you're unhappy, just light it up now. So if you're unhappy, it's all on you. We've got all the possibilities to enjoy life. If you are unhappy, it's on you. Because you don't have to. You are just missing out. It still feels like something is not right. Something is missing. And as soon as my activity is done, as soon as the play stops, as soon as my team has won or lost, or the game is forgotten, or as soon as the effects of whatever I've been consuming has worn off, a lot of people are left with feelings of emptiness. Sometimes people are left with a question. Is this all there is to life? And the advertising was false. The winter wonderland of Narnia was not so wonderful after all. That advertising was false. All those things that should have brought joy to people's lives in our world, in the end, didn't. It was fun doing it at the time, but it didn't bring joy. Lasting joy. Something is missing. Something is not right. And people are left with a sense of restlessness. Something is not right. And you know why? We proclaimed it in our call to worship this morning. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. We feel that things are not right because we are His. For from Him and through Him and for Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever. Everything was created for God. Romans 11. Isaiah 43. Bring my sons from afar, my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. God says, I have created you for my glory. I have created you for me. I created you to be mine. I have created you to be in a relationship for me. That was the creational plan behind your existence. You were created to be in a relationship with me. So, Augustine says it perfectly. Because you have made us for yourself, our hearts are restless till they find their rest. He was one of the what we call the church fathers, the first theologians of the Christian church. And he says it perfectly. Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in God. And this is the nagging problem. This is why people, all people, this is why we are constantly seeking fulfillment, constantly seeking enjoyment, happiness, joy. Because we are created with this yearning for God. We are created with this need for God. We are created with something inside missing so that we will go and search for it. God didn't plan for us and dreamed all these beautiful dreams for our lives and then created us and then just left us to go and hide from us. He didn't do that. He didn't leave us to go and sit behind some curtain watching us stumble through life, laughing at all our stupid mistakes, all the relationships we mess up, laughing at all the wrong choices we make. No, He didn't do that. He created us with this need inside, innate, born into. He created us with this need for Him, this longing for Him. And then He went even further and He positioned Himself in plain sight, saying, here I am. Just look this way. Not that way. Don't look at the world to try and fill this void. Look this way. Look at me. Here I am. And He promises that He will be found. Jeremiah 29. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. God promises you will find find me. I'm not hidden. I'm going to into the throne. I'm there so that His voice can be heard, so that we can be in relationship. But for this to happen, we have to act on that restlessness that we feel in the right way, in the appropriate way. And this is the struggle. And we know that. Paul says to the church in Rome, I get it. I get it. I get that the world is so messed up because of sin. I get that in our searching for God, in our efforts to try and do the right thing, to do what God wants, we mess that up as well. We act on this restlessness in the wrong way. I do the same, says Paul to the church in Rome. I get it. I do the exact same thing. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. So I find this law at work inside of me. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work with me. Paul says, I get it. He says, that's true. Something is not right in this world. Our hearts are racism. We know we need something. And we know it can only be filled by God's love. And even though we try to fill it with God, we keep on doing all these stupid things. Things we know God doesn't like. It actually feels good while doing it. That's so terrible to ask. Once again, Paul says, how are you guys? I get it. I do the same thing. Even as the apostle of Christ, I do the same. Says Paul to the church in Rome. What a rich man I am. So who will rescue me from this body that is subject to this? I get your struggle, says Paul. The struggle is real. Even as an apostle of Christ, I do it. Something is not right in this world. So who will rescue us from this then? Why Paul is dead. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to this? Who will rescue us from this world that's not right? Thanks be to God and deliver us from the feet of Jesus Christ. Jesus will. Jesus Christ our Lord. In the story of Narnia, Aslan, the great lion, He will save them. Jesus will save us. And this is the purpose of the journey. This is the purpose of a journey through Lent, on our way to get to Easter. That's why we have Lent. To realize once again that something is not right. To realize once again that our hearts are restless until they find the rest in Jesus. And to realize that's the whole purpose of Lent. To realize once again that we are in desperate need for Easter. That's why we go through Lent. So that when we get to Easter, we know, oh, we do need Easter. But something is not right with our Lord. So as we journey through Narnia on our way to the stone table, the imagery used in Narnia for the cross, as we make our way through Lent to the cross, may you remember the need for it all. The need for it. And may you remember once again, in the imagery of Narnia, that Aslan is king. The great lion. Jesus. Lift those eyes in prayer. Oh, Jesus, thank you so much for great stories. Great people who served you faithfully, like these words, who had this yearning to
just write a story so that people can get the images and be acceptable to your gospel after they've read the story. The story of supposals of what the gospel story would have been like if it was in the world of mine. To thank you that you can get the Japanese stories. And all the other theological things they wrote, which help us to understand you better. And thank you that we can use this images and this story to help us along our journey in this season of life. But we want to pray for only one outcome through this whole journey of life. That is to come to Good Friday and know that we need Good Friday. And come to Easter Sunday and know that Good Friday wouldn't have meant anything if there wasn't Easter Sunday, if there wasn't a resurrection, if there wasn't a victory. It all depends on how many years we've lived. Some of us have celebrated 100 Easter. Some of us have celebrated 50 Easter. But the more we celebrate Easter, the more we run the risk of just going through the motions. So help us this year in this week to really understand our need for Easter. So that we can really celebrate Easter. So that we can really mourn on Friday, which is actually that Friday without Easter Sunday. A day when we're so happy that was our reaction.